You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Well, it looks like good news. When the Center for Disease Control issues the data, now this data seems old in a time of instant communication. It's from 2014, but that's how the data on abortion is compiled. When they look at the new abortion data and we see a drop in the abortion rate in the U.S., that looks like good news. Now, if you've been watching the reporting on the CDC data, you are seeing all sorts of reasons given why the abortion rate has dropped. Does it represent pro-life progress? That's the question I want to have answered. Welcome back to Issues Etc. live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be answering that question. Dr. Michael New will join us. He's written recently on the CDC data on the drop in the abortion rate in the U.S. Robert Spencer will join us after that to talk about that deadly attack on a mosque in Egypt, and Cheryl Magnus will be with us to talk about post-Thanksgiving, some lifelong lessons you could learn from how you celebrate Thanksgiving. Feel free to give us a call over the next hour of the program. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @IssuesETC, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We also have the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Centers for Disease Control's latest data on abortion in the U.S., Dr. Michael New, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Michigan Dearborn, Associate Scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute in Washington, D.C., and author of a recent column for National Review Online titled U.S. Abortion Data from 2014 Shows Pro-Life Progress. Dr. New, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, thanks for having me.
You say that the data that we're looking at here does demonstrate in part what you call the porous abortion reporting requirements in the U.S. What do you mean by that?
Well, abortion has been legal in all 50 states since 1973. And unfortunately, the federal government doesn't really do a very good job releasing data. Here it's 2017, and the most recent data we have is from 2014. I think that's kind of a problem. More importantly, states really don't face any penalties that I can see when they don't report data. This report only has data from 47 states. I'm pretty sure that Maryland, New Hampshire, and California did not report data. In fact, California has not reported any data on abortion to the CDC since 1997. So we really only get a very, I think, incomplete picture from the CDC. The data we do get indicates we are making progress, but I think reporting requirements should really be strengthened.
Is there any way of drawing conclusions from this? What we're seeing in the press is often talking about the fall in the abortion rate due to an increased use of contraceptives. What do you make of that kind of reporting?
I think that's very misleading. One thing that's important to look at is the long-term trend. And since 1980, we've seen the abortion rate fall by half. The CDC data shows that. The Guttmacher data shows that. We've seen a 50% reduction in the abortion rate since 1980, and that's real progress. And since that time, the unintended pregnancy rate has fallen by a little bit, but hasn't fallen by much. So I'm really skeptical of claims that contraception is having a big role. That if contraception were playing a big role, we'd see big declines in the unintended pregnancy rate, and we have not. What we have seen, interestingly, is a much smaller percentage of unintended pregnancies and an abortion. A higher percentage of women who find themselves pregnant and don't want to be pregnant are actually carrying that pregnancy to term. And I think that shows the good progress pro-lifers have made, both in passing protective laws, in running pregnancy resource centers, and various kind of educational initiatives. So that's where I think we're doing well.
You mentioned the Guttmacher Institute. Can their data help fill in the gaps where the CDC data may be missing?
The Guttmacher data, I think, can be useful. I mean, Guttmacher does a survey of abortion facilities. Their data tends to be, I think, somewhat more reliable as a result. But Guttmacher is not always good about reporting data every year. They don't always break their data down demographically. And the one thing you always have to keep in mind with Guttmacher is up until about 2007, they were the research arm of Planned Parenthood. So, you know, some of the data they put out is reputable, but they have an agenda. And I really kind of wish that the CDC, you know, as a government agency, would have better requirements and really kind of do their job so that we don't have to rely on a group like Guttmacher.
What do you think accounts for the long-term trend in the drop of the abortion rate? What do you think the biggest factor is there as you looked at the data, not only from 2014, but from the previous years and decades?
Well, again, we saw abortion rates go up during the 70s, and they kind of peaked at 1980. And they've fallen pretty consistently just about every year since 1980, through both Democratic and Republican presidential administrations, during times of economic prosperity, during times of economic hardship. Why are numbers going down? I think the most important reason is, again, that a higher percentage of women with unintended pregnancies are carrying those pregnancies to term. We do know that a lot of pro-life laws are effective. We know that public funding restrictions, like the Hyde Amendment, saves lives every year. We know parental involvement laws save lives. We know that well-designed informed consent laws save lives. So partly it's legislation. Partly we're changing hearts and minds. We've made some impressive gains in the court of public opinion. And we're doing actually very well amongst young people. In the 70s, young people were the quote-unquote most pro-choice demographic. And starting in the 2000s, young people became actually fairly pro-life. So I think that's the reason for optimism. And there's also great work being done by sidewalk counselors. There's great work being done by pregnancy resource centers who are at the front lines every day trying to help women facing crisis pregnancies. So there's a lot of good work being done politically in terms of education, in terms of service. And one thing I tell listeners is no matter where you are, there's always something you can do to help build a culture of life in your community.
Talk about pro-life laws, even those that are admittedly quite incremental in their intent, as public information, as public education.
Yeah, I think that laws can serve an educational purpose. You know, I was born in 1975. I kind of came of age politically in the 90s. And the big debate we had in the 90s was the debate over banning partial birth abortion. And I think, you know, that was very useful for the pro-life movement, that we actually had pictures of late-term abortions in newspapers, in magazines, on TV. It was an issue that couldn't be ignored. And I think one thing it did is it did shift public opinion in a more pro-life direction. But it also really let people know how kind of radical our abortion policy really is. The fact that a baby could be partially born, then aborted, was shocking to many people. And the media doesn't really report on this all that much. So again, sometimes these incremental laws can educate people, they can shift public opinion in ways that are useful. And again, I think we're seeing that with a 20-week ban. We've seen a number of states pass that. We're trying to get a federal ban in place. And it may be a relatively small percentage of abortions, but these incremental laws do have a lot of educational power.
How do you expect organizations like Planned Parenthood to respond to this trend that's undeniable, falling abortion rate in the U.S.?
That's kind of a very interesting question. How do I think they'll respond? I mean, right now, the people who support legal abortion, I think, honestly, are scared. I think they see the changing demographics. I see that they see the writing on the wall. And there's a lot of trends that concern them. For instance, very few doctors or physicians want to do abortions. The medical profession kind of looks down upon abortion facilities. And they're trying very hard to try to encourage young people, or at least young physicians, to consider doing abortions. And they've, you know, funded some fellowship programs. So far, it's not really working all that well for them. But I think for good reason, not many young people, especially people with medical training, are that interested in doing abortions. So I think you see the other side is generally, you know, scared. I think they're going to keep trying to raise money. They're going to insist that the Democratic Party take a hard line and oppose these incremental measures. But in the end, I think it'll backfire. I think that progress isn't happening quite as fast as we would like, but it is happening. And again, I do think if we stay the course, I think someday we will live in a world where the unborn do get the legal protection they deserve.
On the issue of reporting that we began with, would we benefit from a federal law that would require all states in a timely fashion to accurately report their abortion figures so that we could really get a picture of the real situation long term in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the pro-life movement, obviously our resources are limited. We can't necessarily get everything we want from the legislative process. But I think we should prioritize better reporting. And some states are doing a good job. There's probably about 15 states right now that do have 2016 data available on abortion. So some states are actually doing a pretty good job with that. But would a federal law be helpful? Absolutely. It will give us good information about, say, sex education programs. It would give us good information about contraceptive programs. It would let us know what kind of impact pro-life laws are having. I think people on all sides of this issue should support better and more timely and more accurate data.
Dr. Michael New is Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Michigan, Dearborn. He's Associate Scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute in Washington, D.C., and author of a recent column for National Review Online titled U.S. Abortion Data from 2014 Shows Pro-Life Progress. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. New, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
On the other side of the break, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be with us. We're going to talk first about that deadly attack in Egypt, a mosque that was bombed and over 300 killed. Why does it happen? What does he make of the reporting? We're also going to talk about the whole issue of Islamophobia with him. Dr. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be our guest on the other side. Then Cheryl Magnus joins us to talk about some lifelong lessons, some everyday lessons that we can learn from how we celebrate Thanksgiving. Stay tuned.
So natural law is both outside of us and inside of us.
Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
God has written on the hearts of man his rules for right behavior. Man, in turn, can recognize these rules as he observes moral purposes in the design of the world around him. It is terribly crude to discuss it, but regarding homosexual activity, suffice it to say that nature itself teacheth the man that one of these things does not belong here.
You can listen to Aaron Wolf making the case for natural law on an audio DVD from both Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Two conferences on one DVD. Learn more at issuesetc.org and click on the conference audio DVD logo.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.